Welcome to the Divine Feminine CEO. I'm your host, Rachel Lowenhertz, and this podcast is your portal into yourself, your place in the world, and how you desire to show up as you. This is a place for you to be sovereign, to make change, to master your destiny, and create a life that's crazy aligned with who you're meant to be. But who is that? And how do you manifest her? Enter, my love, and discover. Hello, beautiful. Welcome back. I am thrilled that you're here with me today because I am moving through a new initiation in life, or not a new one, but an old one. That's taken a whole trip around the wheel, and now here I am back at the beginning of it again, and I'll share some details about that with you in a moment. But the reason I wanted to do this podcast is because it's not a matter of if life will throw something difficult at you. It's always a matter of when. And this isn't to say that life is always challenging. It's simply that we cycle. We move through periods of abundance and periods of scarcity. We move through times of ease and times of stuckness, and this is natural. So whatever season of life you're in today, inevitably, you will be called upon to move through a challenge or an initiation. And the one that I'm moving through right now is I've shared some details about what my husband has worked through the past few years. And right now he's in the middle of a pretty significant mental health crisis. And if you follow him on his social profiles, you'll know some of the details. I won't share them here because that's his story to tell. But I'll share my side, which is that a few years ago, we were in a similar place when he first got sick, and I found myself wearing all the hats. So I was his caregiver and advocate for health. I was taking care of my son and showing up for him as a stable, solid presence. And I was working. I was the sole breadwinner. I was having to do it all. And that really ramped up my journey to live a more sustainable life without burning out on my own terms, because there was so much pressure. There was so much pressure, and nobody could tell me what to do. Nobody in my life could guide me, and it wasn't the first experience I'd had like that. I lost my first pregnancy, my twin girls, at 20 weeks in 2014, so about 7 years ago. And at the time, I was very, very alone, and I didn't really know how to support myself mentally, physically. My friends and family didn't know how to show up for me. I didn't have the rings of support that I have around me now. And if you haven't already, go back and listen to the episode I did on the Wisdom Council. And if you're interested, please, please join my program this summer. It's going to be a completely donation-only program that I'm doing to help people build their own Wisdom Council so that they have rings of support to call upon when life gets challenging. Because my experience this time around, recovering from the loss of my third daughter, and now moving through this latest challenge, this initiation that is being the center point of my family once again, as we move through this mental health crisis together, it's challenging and there's a lot of pressure. But the support that I have and the knowledge that I have is vastly different. And so I wanted to record this episode today to share with you the five pillars that I'm leaning on right now to move through this with grace, with support, and without burning out. Because as I've said time and time again, for so many of us, really all of us, burnout is just not an option, especially if you have people that are depending on you, but really if you're anyone who loves themselves, because you deserve more than that. So again, please go listen to the episode on the Wisdom Council, because I won't go into that in depth today, but I am going to give you an overview of what I'm doing now to support myself. And these are very tactical things that you can use yourself today during any time of stress to support yourself. So whether that's you're doing a big launch as an entrepreneur and there's a lot going on, these techniques are all beautiful for you. If you're a new mother and you're recovering postpartum, these are beautiful. If you're experiencing grief or loss or tension in a marriage, these are all things that may happen to you during your life, and you've probably experienced your own flavor of this already. So without further ado, let's go over these five pillars because they're easy to integrate and they make a profound difference. So the first pillar here is all about keeping your body temple pure. Now, from a physiological standpoint, your body interprets stress as a toxin. So physiologically, your liver actually has to process the stress hormones and all of the oxidative stress that gets produced in the body when you're under mental or emotional or physical stress. So whether you've just eaten something that had a lot of mercury in it, like tuna, and your body is trying to filter that out, or you lost someone important to you, your body actually handles it the exact same way. So the way our body detoxifies gets impaired when we're under stress. And when we have toxins that build up in our body, that makes us not feel well. It causes all sorts of problems. We won't go into that in a lot of detail today, but at a high level, what I'm doing right now is I'm starting my day. I have a big glass of green juice right here. I'll actually take a sip now that I'm remembering. I have a juicer, so I'm getting big bags of fresh organic produce from Costco, and I run a lot through my juicer every morning. I love to use celery and lemon and really anything that's very alkalizing that raises your pH so that it's not so acidic is really supportive for the body when it's under stress, because it's just going to help your liver, which is kind of the master detoxifier and coordinator in your body, process everything that much more easily. Now, I also try to eat only organic when I'm under stress. I don't eat sugar, and then I make sure to eat regularly because our blood sugar levels really get impacted when we're under stress. It's why we crave sugary sweets when we're under stress. We just want to eat that cake or those cookies, and it's because our body's in that fight or flight mode, and it wants you to give it glucose so that it can fuel your muscles and create ATP so that you can go run from that tiger. But when we're going through chronic stress, usually it's not because we're being chased by a tiger. So it's really important for us to keep everything stable and steady. And so eating regular meals, having protein, fiber, and fat in the morning is wonderful for balancing your hormones. I learned that from the beautiful Magdalena Shalaki, who I will have to bring on at some point. She is a genius when it comes to functional nutrition and hormone balance and all of that. If you are a woman, whether you're cycling or perimenopausal or menopausal, you've got to check her out because she will change your life. So keeping the body temple pure, because again, the body interprets emotional, mental, and physical stress in the same way. So anything that we can do to support that, to remove any added stressors that we might introduce, you know, by having that cookie that I would normally have in the afternoon without a problem, right now, I've got to keep it pure. So the second pillar is gratitude and visualization. And I do this at the start of the day. You can actually do this before you even get out of bed. But when you wake up, visualizing your perfect day, visualizing exactly how you desire it to go, even if you know that because of whatever's happening in your life, it may not happen. And that's okay. But this is all about having your brain practice wellness, practice calm, or abundance, or whatever is currently missing from your life. And this is really, really important because I know from my personal experiences with trauma that it's very easy to get locked into these repetitive neural pathways where we're living in the trauma all the time, even when we don't have to be. So mindfulness is a beautiful tool for this because it helps us stay in the present, but I actually like visualization even more, and here's why. When you visualize something that is positive and emotionally charged, it creates happy neurotransmitters. So stress is going to have your body produce adrenaline and cortisol. These are the hormones that get us primed to run from the tiger. When we practice positive visualization, and also when we practice gratitude, it creates dopamine and serotonin, oxytocin. These are all of the yummy hormones that make us feel really, really good. And so starting your day with some visualization can be incredibly profound during periods of stress because it helps take your brain out of that fight or flight cycle. And the longer you're living with the stress, the harder it becomes to break the pathway because your brain is always looking for the tigers. It thinks that's what it needs to do to keep you safe. So when stuff like this is going on, it's actually more important to visualize the positive, even though, I'll be honest, it's that much harder because you have to break through that fight or flight. But that's why it's so profound as a tool to offset and support yourself during these initiations. And gratitude works the same way. So I like to practice gratitude as soon as I wake up. I'll look around my room and look at what I'm thankful for. I practice gratitude for my body that's working and healthy and strong. And you can be grateful for things that you don't even have. Like, if you're experiencing a health challenge, you could say, I'm grateful for my healthy body. Remember, this is all about practicing what you do desire. Because the more we live in the alternate pathway in that fight or flight, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, and we don't want that. So the third pillar is all about functional support. So I talked a little bit about nutrition as it pertains to keeping your body temple pure. But when I think about functional support, this is more like the supplements and the additives that you can use to help your body through stressful times. And two of my favorites are turmeric and magnesium. So turmeric is sort of the master anti-inflammatory herb, and you can cook with it, you can get it in supplement form, and it's really beautiful for supporting the adrenals during times of stress. So I always make a point to take these supplements when I'm experiencing a lot of stress, and I don't have to take them the rest of the time. I also love adaptogens, so mushroom teas. You've heard me talk about Four Sigmatic before. They have one that's a reishi tea, and I think it might even have some turmeric in it, but it's all designed to help the system handle stress in a productive way and help you calm down. And then magnesium. Oh, this is so important, and most people in the U.S. Especially, but probably worldwide because of the declining soil quality that we have due to a lot of our agricultural practices, most people are deficient in magnesium. So unless you live by the ocean and you're walking on the beach every day, you probably need more magnesium. You can have these levels checked, but one of the easiest ways to do this is just to take an Epsom salt bath before bed. You can put like 2 cups of Epsom salt in the bath. I like to do it with some essential oils and sometimes with some baking soda if I want it to be more of a detox bath. But magnesium is beautiful for promoting relaxation and sleep. It's also great for athletic recovery. So again, our body interprets stress in the same way. So even a hard workout is stress to your body, and magnesium will actually help your muscles repair. So I really, really recommend that. I'm doing that daily, and then I actually take it orally as well. I take magnesium glycinate before bed. There are a lot of different forms of magnesium, so make sure you pick the one that's right for the particular thing that you want. I think that magnesium malate tends to be good for energy in the morning. Glycinate is the best for bedtime. There are a whole bunch of others, and I'll bring a wise woman on at some point to talk about that. So that's functional support. The other thing that I do is I drink a sugar balance tea first thing in the morning, and that helps curb some of the sugar cravings that tend to get out of hand when we're stressed. So it can kind of keep that cycle in check of like, I'm stressed, so I crave sugar, and that spikes my blood sugar, so I'm stressed. We don't want to get into that when we already have stress in our lives. Okay, the fourth pillar, this one is so, so important, and it does take a little bit of time to build because this is the Wisdom Council. And if you want more depth on this, go listen to that podcast or go to my website, uncorporette.com/wisdomcouncil, if you're interested in the program. I am running it live this summer, but it will be available if you want to join at any time because it's donation only through July. All the replays will be available, and at some point I'll probably package it up as a course. So this knowledge will always be accessible to you, but definitely get in now if you're interested because it's going to all go to benefit the March of Dimes, and it's pay whatever you desire. So really, really accessible. But the Wisdom Council is so important. And there are six layers of support in your Wisdom Council. And we'll dive deep into the second layer as our fifth pillar. But for now, I want to talk about the third, fourth, and fifth rings of the Wisdom Council, which are your inner circle. Those are like the wisdom advisors, the mentors, the therapists, the people that you're meeting with regularly that have the most impact on your growth. The next ring is your co-creators, so the people that you're actively co-creating with to bring your work into the world. And then it's your friends and family. And what I'm doing right now to get through this time is I am calling upon all of them. Now, 7 years ago, when I lost my twins, I didn't really have anyone in my Wisdom Council. Yeah, I had friends and family, but I didn't really know how to lean on them, or how to ask for what I needed, or how to figure out who I should ask for what, because sometimes I would go to one parent for one thing and be disappointed when I really should have gone to the other. So there is an element of figuring out who needs to be in your Wisdom Council and then how to call upon them. But this is so, so important because it's for these initiations, not just our everyday growth, that we desperately need our Wisdom Council in place. So when this began happening, I immediately reached out to my therapist. I actually found a new therapist who specialized in another modality that I wanted to support myself. I reached out to two of my primary mentors, my wisdom advisors, who are helping me grow in life and in business. And even if they can't do anything tactically to solve the situation, they can hold space for me. And it makes me feel far less alone as I move through this experience. Now, my co-creators, these are the people that I talk with regularly to actually bring my work into the world. And they've been plugged into the situation the whole time because they are close to me on that level because we are in more of a co-creative relationship. And what's happening in our lives absolutely impacts our ability to create. So when you set up your own Wisdom Council and you pull in these counselors, these peer level co-creators, these are very likely people who will know what's happening in your life because they tend to be relationships that operate on a different frequency than a typical friendship. And again, we'll go into this in a lot more detail in the Wisdom Council program, but it's been so important for me. To have someone who is a peer, who is in my space, who is also an entrepreneur, but who can see me on this level and who can provide her own set of insights that really cut through all the fluff. It makes a huge, huge difference because I don't have to hide anything. I can simply be seen, my pain can be observed, and I can receive the support that I ask for. And then the next ring that we'll talk about just a little bit today is the friends and family, because here's the thing, your friends and family, they love you so much, but they don't always know how to support you. And that's not their fault, and it's not your fault either. And I have lived this a lot. I mean, a big part of why I'm doing this podcast today is I know I talk about these principles very often, and I want you to know that this is not just theory. This is a very real life practice for me. I'm literally putting all of these tools into practice now, and they make a huge, profound difference, which is why I'm so passionate about sharing them with you, because I know that they can really, really change your life as well, because you deserve to walk through life with full support, with a body that is healthy and whole, on your path of purpose, doing your big work in the world, but you can't do it alone. And you can't do it without supporting your systems. So when it comes to friends and family, it's important to know who to call on for what. So I reached out to all my best friends and I let them know what I'm going through. And most of them didn't really know what to say, and that's okay because I told them what I wanted. I told them, you know, we don't need anything. I just need you to be there and hold space for me and check in with me once a day. So when it comes to friends and family, you have to know who's in your wisdom council, but also you need to know how to leverage them. And a big part of that is learning how to ask for what you actually need, because as much as we would love our friends and family to know us on that level, they don't. We have a relationship that's built over many years with them that comes with fun and positive experiences, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they know how to co-create with us or support us the way that an inner circle mentor would. So we have to coach them a little bit. And that's okay, because what I often find is that this is really, really hard for people to do. It's extremely hard to do because often we don't actually know what we want. That's why we have mentors in our inner circle, because they can see to the core of us, because we select our mentors to do just that. And again, we'll talk so much more about this in the Wisdom Council program. But with our friends and family, they just require a little bit more guidance. But don't shy away from that, because during these initiations, that's when we need them most. But we do sometimes have to tell them how to support us. I mean, I remember when we were new parents and we were exhausted all of the time. I remember that some of my husband's family came in a few days after Gideon, our son, was born, and they thought, oh, you know, celebration, let's bring them champagne and let's go ring the doorbell now that we're here. Well, we were all sleeping, you know, we were exhausted. We hadn't slept in days. And so they come over to the house thinking that they're bringing this wonderful gift. And in fact, it woke us up from this nap. And if you've had children, you'll know that, oh my gosh, in those early days, sleep is more valuable than anything in your world, but they just didn't know. And that's not really their fault at the end of the day. It's our job to guide them to the type of support that we need to receive. But we didn't really know how to do it then. And now I do. And I'm telling you, it's been a very different experience this time around through this initiation. So the last pillar that I'm leaning on, and you can take or leave whatever resonates with you about this, is prayer and energetic support. And this can mean whatever you want it to mean to you. For some of my friends who are very strong in faith, this is support from God. For me, this is support from divinity and source and my own energies and my own energetic guides that I'm calling in. And what I've found, I've done a few episodes now on using pain as a portal for growth and how to make resistance work for you. And it's the same opportunity when we move through an initiation like this. Because as challenging as these times are, it's when our emotions are most heightened that we gain the most open doorway into ourselves. And many of us don't want to walk through this doorway because it's painful. We don't want to see what's on the other side. But in doing so, we can move a lot of the energy that needs to be moved that we don't want stuck in our bodies. And this is how trauma happens. You know, it's interesting. If you're a parent, I love the book Parenting from the Inside Out. And the principle of the book is that what happens to us in childhood shapes who we are as parents, as adults. And what's interesting is that it actually doesn't matter whether you had a rosy childhood or a traumatic childhood. What matters is how you processed it. So if you were someone that went through trauma as a child, but you had a lot of support and you processed it healthily, that builds resilience. And as a parent, you don't then end up suffering from those types of attachment parent relationships. If you don't end up processing it, you end up dissociated, you end up traumatized, and it shows up in a lot of ways. And I've seen this happen in my own life with the traumas that I've moved through. So what I have learned through everything that I've been through in the past, let's say 7 years, is that when these situations arise, it's important not to shy away from the emotions, but instead to lean into them, to let them move through me, and then to call on all of my energetic support and all of the support from divinity to move that energy out of my body so that it's not getting stored. And I've done this a few times this week now. I actually love to do this with crystals. I'll pick a crystal. I'm working a lot with malachite right now because it's very protective and it's also really good for emotional release and then also releasing victim consciousness, because believe me, it would be very easy in this situation for me to just dwell in like, why is this happening to me? This is so awful. It's not fair. I don't deserve it. I mean, all that may be true, but it's not really productive. Those thoughts don't really serve me. And in fact, they give away my power because then I'm a victim and I can't actually do anything about it. So instead, when I'm feeling the emotions, I will take some space, even if it's 5 minutes, and I'll give my son an iPad and I will go into my office, my sanctuary, and cuddle up on my meditation pillow with a crystal. And then I just kind of open my heart. And if you work with your chakras at all, I like to open my root chakra to the Mother Earth energies, the Great Mother. She really holds a lot of abundance and sustenance and just so much love. And remember, you know, these are energies. So this doesn't have to be faith-based. You don't have to believe in them per se, but there's still energies that you can access. You know, every living thing, a tree has energy. This is scientifically measured. So you can access these energies, even if it's just helping yourself embody what you think support from the Great Mother could feel like. It's a way to help yourself embody what you may or may not be receiving from what's external to you. And that's why this is so powerful. So I'll open my root chakra to some Great Mother energy, and that really grounds me and supports me. And then I open my crown chakra to just that beautiful white light from divinity, from source. And then I pull it through. I just pull it through my body and I feel this very beautiful open channel. And that's just where I let the emotions loose. And usually at this point, tears will stream down my face. I might make some unpleasant sounds. You know, the sounds that in our society are not acceptable, like, oh, some, you can't go out on the street and grieve. You know, there are other cultures where people do this because it is a natural part of moving through these challenges. And when we don't allow ourselves to experience the emotions in this way, they end up repressed. And that's where, you know, longer term effects from trauma can occur. And in that moment, I just allow myself to be divinely supported, to be supported by all the energies that I wrap around myself. And it's incredibly healing, incredibly beautiful. And this can take whatever shape it feels like for you. You know, you might pray to God and receive some support from God. You might lean into the scientific aspect and say, you know, I'm going to visualize this. I'm going to visualize this energetic support so that my brain feels supported and I can turn on my parasympathetic nervous system. And so, like the zebra that shakes after being chased by a lion to release that trauma, I am moving this trauma out of my body. You can read Peter Levine's work. He has a beautiful short little read called Healing Trauma, where he talks a lot about this in Western psychology terms. So again, you can take whatever lands for you, but this is a very, very powerful tool for moving through these challenging initiations because it does just that. It moves the energy so that you don't get stuck in the challenge, so that you can feel it, you can process it, and move on. And what I find is that after I do this and I wipe the tears off my face, I can go back to the living room and I can play with my son and be happy, even though all this crazy stuff is going on in my life. It's because I've created a container to experience those emotions. I've created a container where it's safe and okay for me to let all of that out. And once we put things in the container, we can move on. And if I feel them rising again, I'll just say to myself, okay, we're going to put this in the container. You know, hang in there. Right now, we're with Gideon. We'll have a container later tonight. So to recap, the 5 pillars of support when you're moving through an initiation or a significant challenge, or even just a time of heightened stress, are to keep your body temple pure. Practice gratitude and visualization, especially in the morning. Pull in some functional support, especially magnesium, so good for sleep. And then call in your rings of support, your wisdom council. And be sure that you're pulling them in the right way so you can really get what you need. And if you need support with that, I invite you to join the Wisdom Council program because we're going to go in depth into how to do this. And then the last pillar here is prayer and energetic support and really just creating containers to experience what's happening so that you can move through it in a healthy way. So I want to let you know that I'm doing fine. I am very lucky to have so much support, and that is why I am creating the Wisdom Council and running this as a donation-only program to benefit the March of Dimes, because there are so many mothers like myself who have lost children preterm who do not have the support that I have. And I did not have this support the first time I went through it. So I understand firsthand how hard it is to move through life's initiations without this. So I feel very passionate about sharing this wisdom with you, because this is something that will transform your life forever. Every challenge, every initiation, and to do it in a way where I can give back to those who don't have access to resources like this is a profound way for me to heal, to help the world heal, and to bring this knowledge to so many of you who are also looking to move through life with grace while still creating the abundance and happiness and fulfillment that you desire, because you deserve it, my love. So please come join us for the Wisdom Council. It's going to be a very little time commitment per week. We're going to meet for an hour of class and Q&A, and there's going to be no homework other than just starting to implement this in your life. And this is something that takes time to build. So come, receive this wisdom, receive the support. The other beautiful element of the council is that I will actually be pairing you with co-creative partners so that you can start to build this ring of your Wisdom Council, because it can be hard to find these partners if you're not trained in how to work with them. So come, I invite you, and I would love to have you. And if you are listening to this podcast after summer 2021, that's okay. Go to uncorporate.com/wisdomcouncil. I'm sure that I will still have this available as an offering, as a self-study, and potentially as a membership. I'm thinking about just opening up like a members-only Wisdom Council, whose purpose will be like literally to find your co-creators and to create this council and to really be in a community that is operating on this same wavelength, because it really changes everything in your life once you're able to bring in that type of support. So, my loves, I'm sending you all the love and light, and I thank you for being here with me, because it means a lot, especially as I move through this initiation. You know, you are part of my rings of support, and that's why I'm showing up for you, even though I'm in a difficult time right now, because you're there for me too. This is an energetic exchange. You know, you're listening to me, and I'm here hopefully as one of your inner circle mentors to guide you and help you heal and create the life that you desire. So I'll leave you with that, my love, and we will talk again soon. Thanks for joining me on this journey to sanctity, sovereignty, and sustainability. You bring such joy to my soul, and I want to hear from you. You can tag me on Instagram at uncorporette or email me anytime at rachel@uncorporette.com. I love to hear from you, and I create for you, so please reach out. And finally, if this episode was meaningful for you, please leave me a review. This is how others will find the podcast. And as you know, it's my mission to activate the divine feminine CEOs I know will change the world. You're one of them, my love. So thanks for being here.